Secretary to the View Commission the state of SOEs. And my first reaction was that state-owned enterprise, doesn't it belong to money-making enterprises and not, in my view, public entities that we are dealing with? But we were convinced that we have to look at entities that was established under law in terms of SASSA and the NDA, their performance, but in terms of our interaction and our engagement with them. So I've asked the content advisor, Ms. Nogenga, to look into that and to give a presentation to the committee. So the report has been circulated to members. So I'm going to ask her just to take us through the report and for us to have a discussion and resolve on certain matters. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the members and the officials from the department. And I would just want to ask you to pardon me, I have a flu, so my voice is not that good. Okay, as Chairperson has just made the introduction, the report mainly focuses, because we had to evaluate, so it mainly focuses on the SASSA and the NDA. The introduction is just about how these two entities were established according to the Act, one of the South African Social Security Agency, Act 2004, Act number 9, and the National Development Agency, which is a Schedule 3, which was established through Section 2 of the National Development Agency. And the mandate of each of these is that the SASSA, its mandate is to ensure the provision of comprehensive social security services against vulnerability and poverty within the constitutional and legislative framework. And the mandate of the NDA is to contribute towards the eradication of poverty and its causes by granting funds to civil society organizations for the purpose of carrying out projects or programs aimed at meeting development of poor communities and strengthening the institutional capacity of other civil society organizations involved in direct service provision to poor communities. So part of the request that we had to do was to look at the interaction the committee has had with the two entities. So we looked at the 2011, and I highlighted the committee meetings that we had with the entities. So the first part is mainly the dates that we had interaction with SASSA, and maybe just to highlight mainly the challenges that faced SASSA, as we all know that in the 2 years, 2008 and 9 and 9 and 10, SASSA received a unqualified audit opinion, and that is 2008 and 9, and a disclaimer in 2009 and 10. This was mainly because of the Auditor General's findings that pertaining to the file management of the beneficiaries, that some files were missing, and that is the information that was required was not able to be presented to the Auditor General. And the other one was the Auditor General could not satisfy himself regarding the internal controls of SASSA. So because of those issues, then SASSA received disclaimer audit opinion. And in 2010-11, SASSA received an unqualified audit report. However, there were some issues that were highlighted which are pertaining to the internal controls that needed to be strengthened, that there was a lack of monitoring controls over the reporting process. There was a lack of financial knowledge to implement the new financial instruments. There was a delay in institutional policy approval and implementation. There was a delay in systems preparation and not implementing controls to mitigate risk. There was also a delay in reconciling accounts timeously. and also not identifying and managing risks relating to the financial system. And in October last, in 2011, we received a briefing by the CEO of SASSA, Ms. Virginia Peterson, on the service delivery model, which is mainly aimed to try to resolve all the issues that were identified by the Auditor General. So she highlighted the challenges that are faced by SASSA, which are lack of uniformity and standardization of SASSA processes and implementation of policies, overcrowding at the service points, and there's sleepovers and early arrivals at the service points, long waiting periods for services, repeat visits by clients, and there's a backlog in the processing of applications. There's a lack of adequate office accommodation, and there's a significant growth in beneficiary numbers, and there's a lack of automation, so most of the work that is done manually, and she even made a point that SASSA has, the beneficiary have grown so much, but the work of SASSA remains very manual, and that's a challenge that they have. And there's inadequate staffing and unsuitable pay point environment. There's poor record management and lack of system resulting in increased fraud and corruption. So the service delivery model was thus developed to address these challenges and through short, medium, and long-term interventions. I also included the concerns that the committee raised. Some of them were from the oversight function that the committee conducted. The concerns of the committee included, SASSA remains constrained to perform its main task of managing the distribution of social assistance grants, mainly due to the lack of human resource capacity, infrastructure, and related operational systems. Another concern is that most crucial challenges relate to development and implementing efficient internal controls as regards to documentation control, code of conduct and ethics for SASSA, financial management and internal operational processes, which includes workflows such as standard operating procedures. And also the existing dual accountability between the department and SASSA over the flow of funds, which resulted in the department receiving a qualified audit report in 2009 and 2010 and 2011. And also, while SASSA continues to expand grants to more people who are most vulnerable, care must be taken not to prioritize increasing numbers at the expense of providing quality service to people. And then the briefing that we had on the service delivery model, it was the committee was informed that the department undertook to strengthen its oversight over SASSA by developing internal audit processes and financial inspections. So the committee felt that this is critical to ensure that the department strengthens its governance over its entities. And then the recommendations that were made by the committee to improve the work of SASSA. The first one was the filling of vacancy gap and train staff in accordance with the new financial systems to successfully implement policies and controls over operations and reporting processes, and that research and development should be conducted. There should be monitoring and evaluation of SASSA internal structure. This is fundamental to SASSA's ability to improve services to its clients who are the most poor and vulnerable in society. And with regards with the lack of accommodation, SASSA and the Department of Public Works should work together to identify office spaces for SASSA offices. The issue of dual accountability between the department and SASSA should be addressed so as to clarify the problem of accountability over the flow of funds to SASSA. The audit committees of the department and SASSA should meet regularly to monitor, review, and recommend improvements with regards to internal controls and systems. The department and SASSA should ensure that there should be skills transfer from contractors to SASSA employees so that there would be sustained effective functioning of SASSA. The committee noted that SASSA had been paying the Special Investigating Unit $3 million monthly since its inception to conduct investigation of fraud and corruption with regards to social grants. It felt that this is very costly. It therefore recommended that the department should fast track and finalize the establishment of the Inspectorate for Social Security provided for in the Social Assistance Act No. 13 of 2004 so that SASSA can conduct its own investigations to save costs. Then the next entity is the NDA. The committee had three meetings with the NDA in 2011, and the main challenges that can highlight that came up when the committee interacted with the NDA was the reduction of its budget in 2011 and 12. It received a budget allocation of $83 million, which marked a sharp decrease of 42% from $144 million, which was allocated in 2010 and 11. Therefore, the original budget of $67 million that was to be allocated for project funding was reduced to $33 million. This shortfall resulted in the NDA not being able to meet all its targets. One significant target that could not be met was the envisaged split between the mandate and administration expenditure. And pertaining to projects, the NDA reported to the committee that funding for some projects had to be withheld due to infighting among project beneficiaries. So that raises the issue of sustainability of projects. The concerns and recommendations that were made by the committee expressed its dissatisfaction with NDA's delays in addressing the issues of inadequate skills and competencies of its employees in order to provide effective support to projects. It therefore recommended that a retention strategy should be developed as a measure to retain staff. The committee also felt that the lack of proper conflict resolution measures to assist project beneficiaries to resolve conflicts is a critical aspect that needs urgent attention. And in relation to what I just alluded to, the committee recommended that the NDA then should strengthen its measures to capacitate the NGOs and the CPOs it funded. Furthermore, the entity should strengthen and improve its core business and put more focus on achieving its target of reducing administrative costs. It should also mobilize more resources in order to achieve this objective. Then with regard to the challenge of reduction of budget allocation, the committee advised the NDA that it should have revised its strategic plan and set new targets to avoid discrepancies in reporting on the initial strategic plan that was before the budget was reduced and the achievement that were reported to the committee. Also, there is a need of the NDA to refocus its strategic objectives and align them to the mandate of the department and government priorities. This will shift the perception about the NDA as solely a poverty alleviation entity. The committee suggested that the mandate of the NDA should be expanded to include early childhood development program. Then the NDA should consider awarding funds to projects based on the poverty levels instead of the population size. This will enable projects in provinces where there are high poverty levels to receive funding. That's all, Chair.
Honourable members, there you have it. That is basically a summary of the work that the committee has been doing and the resolutions that we've tabled in Parliament. I'm sure some of the resolutions must be fresh, the recommendations, since we've considered those reports quite recently. Is there any comments from members before I give over to the department? Additions? Is this a true reflection of the work that we've been doing? Okay. Thank you. DJ?
Madam Chair, thank you very much. I've listened very attentively to the report being given, and it resonates very well with the deliberations that have taken place in the various meetings that I participated in when either SASA was here or the NDA was here. I'm not certain, Chairperson, whether that's what you're asking of me or you would like me to make any specific comments.
No, I think that is exactly what I'm asking of you. Because I think the good thing about this committee is that we meet most of the time. I'm sure every week, I'm sure the department, your cost for flying through the parliament is escalating. But nevertheless, we've been engaging with SASA on service delivery issues constantly. And the fact that issues of public importance that comes up is discussed within the committee. Now, even I'm sure the issues of the re-registration process is also coming to the committee, which is very important, because it's also a measure that we need to take to our constituents in terms of process and so on. and also other issues. And especially with our oversight, and those issues are incorporated as well as the NDA. So this is basically what we've been doing in terms of our deliberations. So this is a summary of the work that we've been doing. So I think what is important for the department and your entities is the fact that this is basically the view from the portfolio committee, looking at what we think should be addressed, and for the department to go back to see what they have not addressed in terms of recommendations and see that they do, because the speaker has been writing letters to the minister after every report of the committee has been tabled in parliament to say this is the recommendations of the committee, and how are you going to implement the recommendations. So that's a correspondence that has been going to the minister. So I think it would be a good call it barometer to just to measure your performance against. And when you come to us with your quarterly report, I'm sure you can mention some of these issues. Your quarterly performances, because I think you owe us 3 reports. We haven't had time to discuss your quarterly performance reports with you because of other issues. So I'm sure you can incorporate some of those issues into your quarterly performance report. Mr. Jahoma and Mr. Sheze.
I thank you, Chair. I think I need to be guided, and I'm asking this question out of a pure lack of the knowledge of parliamentary both protocol and process. But what if the department has a slightly different take on an issue recommended by parliament? What do we appeal to your indulgence to allow for us to present perhaps a slightly different case? And or ask for more clarity. I know normally we don't ask the questions, Chair, but I need to ask it here. And I'm going to be specific, and again, I beg your indulgence, because I'm going to ask a question not because I have been mandated by the department, but an issue raised in respect of the second last bullet in which the committee suggests that that is on page, it's no page numbers, but it's a recommendation in respect of the NDA, where it is recommended by the committee that the mandate of the NDA should be expanded to include early childhood development. This is something that the department has discussed and debated within the strategic planning process, but the way it comes out here is to a to an extent such that I'm not sure we would be able to know what to make of that recommendation so that it informs us when we have deliberations. Guidance.
Yeah. Now that's a very provocative question. First of all, we don't want to run the Department of Social Development. So that is number one, which means then the committee will become operational, and that is outside our mandate, in our constitutional mandate. But your comment has actually alerted me to say that it should include an early childhood development, or should I say, the word capacity should come in, because it's about giving capacity to ECD centres and ECD institutions, and not to take over the function that it should migrate from DST to the NDA. So in your you actually saved us some embarrassment on your cheeks, Mr. Chahoun. Capacity development program. So it should be capacity, because it's for the training of ECD centers. Capacity development program. If you remember, we said there was that they should give more training to ECD centers. Yeah. So. I think what is the strength of our relationship is the fact that we do have constant engagement on issues. We have our own view on the family policy, the green paper that you published, and I'm sure we need further engagement on the policy process, because you have not been following the conventional policy route issue. So we need further engagement on that and on other issues. But let's leave it at that. Did you, Mr. Shezi?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. It's not very comforting to speak after a question has asked the chairperson of the portfolio committee. But I just wanted to say that, to embellish the point you made, Chairperson, that There are indeed certain initiatives that have happened and which the minister is driving, partly in response to also some issues that the portfolio committee has raised. For example, whilst the report highlights the fact that one of the things that came out during the engagement with SASA was the increased number of beneficiaries, against the limited infrastructure that they have, I think it is equally significant to note that there is a very significant initiative that the minister is driving right now around the food security issue, and largely, targeting that captive 15 million number of beneficiaries as a kickoff point, which means therefore the increase in the number of beneficiaries, now needs to be looked, in conjunction with those kind of initiatives, where the department is beginning to actually say, because we are realizing the increased number of beneficiaries, what is it that we need to do in order to mitigate that? And the thrust of the food security, strategy that the department is currently and the minister is driving now is meant to soften that impact. The second point relates to the NDA, itself. And as the Honorable Chairperson has said, that the strength of the relationship between the ministry, the department, and the portfolio committee largely relies on the rigorous interaction that has happened, and that continues to happen. I think as a consequence to that, as a consequence to some issues that were raised by the portfolio committee earlier on, the minister is driving a review process of the NDA. And there's no doubt about the fact that that review process of the NDA is going to actually, pick up some of the issues that are highlighted in this. The third point in relation to the matter that, might have acted the chairperson is the fact that I think the issues that are highlighted in this report regarding early childhood development and early childhood education, putting aside, you know, the semantics of the way this is phrased, but the truth of the matter is that some of these issues themselves emanated from the issues that were raised by the portfolio committee interacting with the department, you know, around those things. So they're not issues that are really raised in isolation and fairness to the committee. And I think that the department is actually, you know, looking into those issues very seriously. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Mr. Shirley. Honourable members, are we fine with this report? Thank you. Thank you. With that, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And she wouldn't really.
Yes.
Yes, Chair. You want to see it? Yeah. Okay.
My assistant.
There you go. Oh, sorry.
That's what happened to me. And it's
so funny.
She was so long.